Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Help me to wait and not to fall. Help me to stay while you make me strong on top of the day. A privilege to carry everything to God in prayer.
Okay, y'all heard of a slip and slide? They named that after me. When he's not slipping, he's sliding. Okay? I know all about backsliding. I can tell you about that. So let's start here, because this is an easy verse for us to live by. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, that's easy. We can do that, right? You see, we read a verse like that, and we figure that's where we got to be. We got to be perfect. But see, the English word perfect has two definitions. One definition of the word perfect means without flaw or blemish. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfect. There's no problems with it, nothing going wrong with it. But then there's another definition of this word perfect. It means steps that you completed to reach a goal. Right, I worked on my jump shot till I had a perfect motion on my jump shot, something like that. I completed the steps and reached a goal. So those are two different meanings of the word perfect. Either nothing wrong with it at all or completing steps to reach a goal. Those are two different definitions of this word perfect. Now, here's a beautiful thing, and I'm going to tell you something. Nobody knows in church. You're going to be smarter than everybody that goes to church. You're going to dazzle them with this information, and you're going to feel amazing. The Bible is written, New Testament of the Bible is written in Greek, a language called Greek, and they had two different words for these two different definitions. It's not like English where you just got one word. You just got to figure out what that might mean. In Greek, they got two different words for those two different definitions, so that way you would know exactly what they mean. So the Greek word amamos means something that has nothing wrong with it. The Greek word teleos means something where you went through a series of steps and you completed it, and it's all fulfilled. That's number two. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Which one of these Greek words do you think is in this verse? Because 90% of people I ask think it's the first one. Guess what? It's not. It's the second one. That's good news, isn't it? See, this second one says you're working steps to get where you're going. There are people in this room working some steps, aren't there? You came here. That was a step. See, you read a verse like this and you get discouraged because you think I got to be without flaw or blemish, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says work these steps. Get up off your behind and get to church and figure it out. Amen? And you're doing that. You're doing that. This is a good news verse for you. This is telling you that you're on the way. This word teleos, see, this Greek word teleos is very important in the Christian church and in the Bible. Very, very important. I'll tell you why. Because this is the last word that Jesus said from the cross. He said, "It's finished. It's completed." See, what happened on the cross was he paid for all the things that you did wrong. And he said, "That's finished. That's been done now." Okay? That means the price of your sin has been paid for. Now, do we still have earthly consequences? Yeah, you do something stupid, something harsh is going to happen back to you. I've proven it. I've researched this. Okay? You don't have to check and see. I'll tell you, consequences will happen to you, okay? Some of y'all have done your own research. You can tell me amen instead of acting all holy in church. Bad things will happen, okay? But it's been paid for, and if I'm thankful enough for that, I start living my life a different way, and I start working these steps, see? See, we got to get a whole new perspective on this thing. The Bible says, and this verse actually comes right after some of these verses we were looking at earlier. The Bible says, if we claim to be without sin, we're a liar, and the truth is not in us. Now, I wish that what had been written down is, if you act like you have no sin, we're all going to know you're full of it and not believe you. And you're a liar and there's no truth in you. That's what I wish they'd written down there, because that's what everybody's doing. You know, they'll say, I'm a sinner too. Sure, sure. You can't tell, and I'm not going to admit to anything, but yeah, you sure, you know. We have a way of fronting off in church worse than anywhere else. But this Bible verse says, if we claim to be without sin, we're liars and the truth isn't in us. And I know what you're saying. I know you're saying, no, I know I have sin in my life. I'm not trying to claim to be without sin. But my point is this. What this is saying is everybody's got sin in their life. And if you know anybody who doesn't, that person is deceiving you into thinking that they don't. That person is a liar. So the truth is not in them. We all have something we've done that we regret, that we wish we hadn't done, that we're trying to deal with. Everybody. Everybody. I think if you want to figure out a way to live your life differently, and I know sometimes that can just feel overwhelming, there's one easy, good, fun thing you can do that will take a giant leap in the right direction, and that's stop hanging out with the fools that you were with the last time it all went wrong. And you know who I'm talking about. I have friends, every time I went out with them, something happened. This fool is getting us all arrested in here. Every time. Now, I could just not hang out with that one guy, and my life would be 1,000 times better. But he's lots of fun, so I don't mind it so much, you see. So there comes a point where I have to admit, okay, I'm not fellowshipping with good people. If I fellowship with good people, it just gets easier, you know. It just gets a lot easier, and I have a lot more fun, and I enjoy life a whole lot better. Jesus said, Jesus went up to a guy named Matthew, okay? And Matthew was a tax collector. Now, to you, that doesn't mean much, but if I say he worked for the IRS, maybe you get a little bit more of a sense of what we're talking about here. But imagine these tax collectors, they work for the Romans, right? So all these people we're talking about in the Bible, they're all a group of people called the Jews, right? Romans, a whole another group of people, came in and conquered them, took over, kicked their behind, started running things, and said, plus, you got to pay us, okay? So the tax collector was the guy from your own neighborhood that came and took your money to give to them who just finished conquering our whole situation, calling shots over us. So as you might guess, that's the one brother in this neighborhood we all hate the worst, okay? Jesus went up to this person, and he's got his little table set up there in the marketplace so he can grab money from people when he sees it changing hands or people buying stuff. So he knows they got money. So Jesus goes up to the table and goes up to Matthew and he says, you, follow me. That's it. That's all he said. That man stood up from that table and followed Jesus everywhere he went. Now, what happened to that brother? When you open to the New Testament, the first book of the Bible in the New Testament is what? Matthew. Same guy. Same guy. See, Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. He didn't say, act real straight and behave yourself. He didn't say that. He said, just come with me, would you please? Quit doing that. Come here. We're going to go over here. We're going to talk to a person. We're going to see a thing. Now, you can live with that, can't you? If you follow Jesus, you're going to be sinning a lot less. Doesn't that make sense? See, we get focused on the sin part, and we forget about the fact that just being with him, things, I'm just not going to want to sin the way I used to. I'm not going to be tempted the way I used to. Things are going to be different. These are easy things. These are things you can do. Now, I want to end it on this. You know, a lot of people, they get into this Jesus thing, following him and trying to be a Christian and all that, but they picture themselves as grown before God. They say, me and God is both grown, so we can deal with each other, kind of like equals. I'll tell him what I think, and then he'll tell me what he thinks, and we'll see. Okay. Maybe I'll do it his way, maybe I'll do it my way, who knows? We'll just work on it, see, you know. I'll put it a little off to the side for him and the plate and everything. It'll be, you know, it's straight. This is the way we think of things, okay? But what we are to God is little children that don't know anything about anything. We have to see ourselves that way, because here's the thing. My sister, she's got two little twin children, 2 years old, this big. You could call them Chaos and Mayhem. That would be two good names for these. They're lovely. They're sweet kids. There's nothing wrong with them other than being 2 years old, you know, but they just own some kind of anarchy every moment of the day, okay? Now, she's teaching them to walk. Now, if she got them up and, like, ready to walk, what's going to happen? They're going to fall, right? That's what children do. Now, does she say, hey, I thought y'all was going to walk? This is really disappointing and shocking to me. I didn't foresee this development taking place. I don't know if I can accept you if you can't just walk. But that's how you deal with yourself with God. God's not going to love you. He's going to be shocked to discover this person who has done wrong their whole life comes to Jesus and then did another wrong thing. It's bound to happen. He's bound to expect it. And because he loves you, you see, he's ready to pick you up and say, now let's try that again. That wasn't how we do it. Let's do this again. You don't look down, and that's love. You understand what I mean when I say love? That's the thing we're dealing with here. Now, I had this same sister of mine with these same kids. She was texting with me the other day, okay? She sent me a little text. And she said, the boy child is learning to talk. And the boy child finally said, I loo you. Now, to me, I don't think he quite got it over the finish line, so I wasn't as excited because, you know. But if she wants to be, that's fine. Okay. I loo you. All right. Then she said, I turned my back for a second. All happy and excited. My child said he loved me. I turned back around. A second later, he has stripped himself naked. He is squatting in the middle of the living room carpet, and he is dropping a deuce right there between, right in front of Jesus and everybody. Looking me right in the eye and smiling on his face. Just don't care. See what I'm saying? Now, if you come to my house and do that to me, I'm going to punch you in the eye. I don't care how tall you are or not, you see? Because I don't have the love in my heart for you the way my sister does for her child. Because I asked her, I said, how do you still take care of them? You keep feeding them and everything. I mean, how do you do that? She said, well, you know, it's not the first time. I said, oh, my God. It's not the first time. You see what I'm saying? Love. She loves this child. She's not going to throw that child out because that child is creating a biohazard right in her house. I would, but she's not, you see. You have to picture that God loves you this way. This is our closing verse right here. You are the children that God dearly loves. So follow his example. Follow. Lead a life of love just as Christ did. He loved us. He gave himself up for us. He paid for it. That's the teleos. Amen? All right. We love you. God bless you. That's my time.